we're just going to go stand out in front of this gas station here by the doors, and I'm going to talk to people as they walk by. And I'm just going to show you what I do.
Let's go do it.
Hi, how are you doing today, ma'am?
Fine.
You wouldn't have known anybody might be interested in the military, would you?
No, thank you.
Would you at least take a card? Maybe pass it along for me to someone that might need it?
That's Sergeant First Class Larry Arnold, one of 8,000 recruiters for the U.S. Army. He doesn't have an easy job these days.
Would you at least take a business card for me and maybe pass it along to somebody?
No, I'm afraid not.
No?
Most of the people I'm around are well past that. They're all...
Okay. You don't have any grandkids or nothing?
This particular day, I'm standing with Sergeant Arnold under a bright red and yellow sign for Charlie Biggs Chicken at Woody's Gas Station at the corner of Sycamore and Dixon Streets in Kokomo, Indiana.
Uniform scares people because they know when we come over in uniform that what we're doing, and so a lot of people don't like to talk to us.
Almost 5 years into its war on terror, with 3,000 of its people killed so far, the U.S. military is finding it difficult to fill its ranks. Nowhere is the problem more acute than for the Army. Last year, the Army had hoped to recruit 80,000 new soldiers. It only signed up 73,000. This year, it appears to be on target to hit that 80,000 goal, but there are serious questions about how they're doing that. And that's why I've come to Kokomo, Indiana, in America's Midwest, for this week's Crossing Continents.
How are you doing today, ma'am?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing all right. You wouldn't have known anybody that might be interested in the military, would you?
No, not right offhand, I don't.
Would you at least take a business card for me? Maybe pass it along? Thank you very much. You have a great day.
I'm an editor at America's largest group of defense and military periodicals. In the past year, I've watched the U.S. change the rules for who's eligible to get into the Army. More recruits with minor criminal offenses are being allowed in. Medical standards have been loosened. Recruits can also be fatter than they used to be, and older. You can join up to the age of 42 now. Last year, the limit was 35. And finally, more recruits are getting in who never finished secondary education. The concern for some is that the quality of recruits may be dropping. But one thing's for sure, on this particular day in Kokomo, the loosened standards hadn't made Sergeant Arnold's job any easier.
Okay, Sergeant, it didn't work out so well in front of Woody's at the gas station. What are you going to do now?
Well, I think we'll just go back to the office and we'll make some phone calls and see if we can drum up some business.
As I drive with Sergeant Arnold through Kokomo, named after an Indian chief, by the way, I'm struck by how much this is like my hometown in Illinois, a town where the Republicans win elections easily, where it's hard to spend more than 10 pounds a head on dinner, where the steeples on the Methodist and Catholic churches are the tallest structures in town, unless it's the new mobile phone tower out by the highway.
How many years altogether do you have in the military?
September 10th will be 21 years.
Wow. Going to make a career out of it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then after I, get out, I'm going to figure out what I want to be when I grow up,
For most Army sergeants, recruiting is a dreadful assignment. Long hours, high pressure, many chances to fail.
How many days a week do you put in on this job?
At least 5, sometimes 6.
And what kind of hours do you put in?
Usually about 12 a day.
So a short week for you is 60 hours plus whatever you might put in on a Saturday.
Right.
How many people do you have to sign up this month, Sergeant?
2.
Got any yet?
1. Hello, this message is for Casey. This is Sergeant Arnold with the Army.
Sergeant Arnold's office walls are covered with recruiting awards. But now he's on the phone, and he's doing something that's been the subject of running controversy in America. He's cold calling young men and women who are finishing up their secondary education. He's working from lists that U.S. law requires the schools to provide. Schools have, in the past, banned recruiters. Parents have sued to keep recruiters out of schools. But in 2001, before the September 11th attacks, President Bush signed a law. The law says if a public school accepts federal money, it has to let recruiters on campus, and it has to give up lists of students. No public school has successfully refused.
Hey, how are you doing this afternoon? Good. My name is Sergeant Arnold, and I'm with the United States Army Reserve. You're getting ready to be a senior at Kokomo High School this year? All right. Well, hey, congratulations on making it to your senior year. Are you looking forward to it? Oh, okay. And if you don't mind me asking, what do you plan on doing after you graduate? And so I'm assuming you're planning on going to college for that? How do you plan on paying for Ivy Tech? Undecided how to pay? Okay, well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever considered the part-time Army Reserves to help pay for some of your education? Okay, well, the other advantage to doing it through the military is the military will pay you to learn how to do that. And what I'd really like to do is just maybe be able to sit down with you for about an hour and kind of explain the opportunities and explain to you how it works and see if it might be an option for you, because right now you're just planning on going to Ivy Tech. You haven't made the final decision, right? So how would it hurt you to actually sit down and talk to me to find out another option, right? All right, why don't you take down my name, my phone number, talk to your mom about it, and see if you can't set up a time where I can sit down and talk to you and your mom about the Army Reserve opportunities. All right, thanks a lot. All right, bye.
So tell me about that guy, Sergeant. Any prospect there?
Could be a possibility. And if you'll notice what I'm doing is I make comments down here in this little block. So the next time another recruiter or myself goes to call, we know what happened the last time we called.
I left Sergeant Arnold to visit the high school whose students he was cold calling.
The 2,000 students at Kokomo High School are just starting their new school year. It's from this high school that four graduates have died fighting the war on terror. There probably aren't a handful of schools in the country that claim a grim distinction like that. For that matter, there probably aren't a handful of towns in the country that have had a death rate like Kokomo's. Washington, Baltimore, Atlanta, they've all lost four. The population of Kokomo is only 46,000. For the last 18 years, Harold Kennedy's been the principal of Kokomo High School.
Your term started quite early here at Kokomo. When will the recruiters start showing up?
They'll just begin coming in. They'll stop in and say, hey, is it okay to get started? And we'll say, sure, set your tables up, just check in with us and let us know you're here.
When you were growing up in Kokomo in the 50s and 60s, the factories were hiring good factory jobs. That's not quite the case today, is it?
No, it's not. I can remember back in, and I graduated in 1965, that in 63, 64, Delco, which is one of the big employers in this community for lots and lots of years, came to our high school and said, we'll hire 400 of you right out of high school. We have jobs for you. And they were good paying jobs. But the size and numbers that we had back then, I think we had, at that time, Delco employed about 13 to 14,000 people. And we're down to less than half of that now. So that's changed. Majority of our kids go on to college. There are a larger number going into military now, and I think it's because of the patriotism of our community, our kids. There are also a lot of programs that the military offers for our kids, the opportunity to get advanced training. In addition, you know, the opportunity to just go out and find a job right after high school is not there. But I think a big part of this in this day and time is the patriotism.
Where do these feelings of patriotism come from in Kokomo?
We're a very conservative community. It's a very church-based community. I call it the good old-fashioned middle America. That's what we are. And I think that's why we have so many of our kids that do join and want to serve their country.
Back at Kokomo's recruiting station, I talked to the man in charge, Sergeant First Class Gil Lang. They're trying to sign up young school leavers. In the U.S., they're called seniors. What does he think is the chief impediment to signing up these young people?
The biggest thing is the war. It's the war. And I would tell anybody, America has been at war for many, many years. The difference between this war and any other war is more advertised. People believe what they see on TV. They show the bad things, not the good things that are going on as well. And I believe a lot of families are just scared of that.
Some other towns that have had four people killed in the war include Boston, Atlanta, Washington, D.C. It's an exceptionally high number of people for a town this size. Do you ever hear about that when you're talking to potential recruits?
No, they don't really ask me that question. They just ask me, what's my odds of going to war?
What do you tell them?
If you get the job that you exactly want to do and it requires you to be in the field, I would say you got a 50-50 chance of going overseas.
What's your approach in the summer? What are you doing right now?
Well, I actually got this program they call Summer Thunder. Summer Thunder is nothing more than my actual recruiters actually going out there, calling on the telephone to those new seniors for 07. Pretty much we're looking for the Rambos for the seniors. We're looking for those who are definitely interested in the military and now want to pursue that their senior year.
And do you find a lot of Rambos?
I got one right now. So, yes, it's going really well.
As part of its efforts to attract Rambos, the Army has doubled potential maximum bonuses for recruits to $40,000, almost 20,000 pounds. And there's more money available for higher education. But that hasn't been helping Sergeant Lang among one group that has been a historically rich source of soldiers, Black Americans. Before the war started, African Americans were overrepresented in the Army. 25% of the soldiers were Black versus 14% in the military age population. Today, fewer and fewer Black Americans enlist. Sergeant Lang, an African American with a father who served in the forces, has some theories about why.
Well, I would say actually as a whole in Kokomo, since I've been here a year, we've actually only put in maybe 3 African Americans. The reason why I see that as being a problem for African Americans is because they seem to believe everything on TV. Their past forefathers may have been in the military and they didn't like it. So now their beliefs are impeded on their grandsons or their granddaughters saying that, you know what, it's not a place for African American people. I tend to disagree with that 100% for the simple fact that my dad actually served in 24 years in the Air Force, and I don't believe it has anything to do with your race, creed, or color. It's just more so that if you believe in your job and what you do in the military, that's what you're going to get out of it.
We're back for the second day with Sergeant Larry Arnold, who still has one more to sign up this month, and he's got a splitting headache this morning. We're waiting here for a prospective recruit who is now 10 minutes late.
Hello, is Toshona there? This is Sergeant Arnold with the Army Reserves. She was supposed to come up and talk to me today at 1 o'clock. She had to work today. Oh, she must have forgot she had to work, or did she just get called in today? I'm not sure. All right, well, would you let her know to give me a call when she gets back? All right, thank you. Bye.
You think she's sitting there near the phone saying, shh,
yeah, exactly.
Don't tell him.
Probably, you know, and notice the trick, you know, when I called the last time, it caller ID shows the U.S. government, so they didn't answer it. And that time I star 67, which blocks the number, and they answered it this time. So, yep, that's probably a no-show.
While Sergeant Arnold nurses his headache, a young woman drops by to check out her options. Rachel Perry is 17. She's in her last year of secondary school.
Why are you here at the Armed Forces Career Center?
Because I wanted to see what I could do for college and my education, see if I could travel the world.
What would you like to do in the Army?
Either pharmacy technician or MP.
A military police?
Yeah.
What do you think your chances of going to Iraq or Afghanistan would be?
Oh, they're pretty high. I mean, most people that, you know, go active duty have to serve time, but I'm not worried about it.
You're not worried about it? Why not?
Because I'll do whatever it takes. Because I care about my country, and I care about the people and everything.
A number of people from Kokomo have been killed in the war so far. Is that something you're aware of? Do you and your friends talk about that?
Yeah, I'm aware of it.
And that doesn't prey on your mind right now when you're thinking about signing up?
It does, but, I mean, it's what you gotta go. It's what you gotta do.
We're back in Sergeant Arnold's car, and we're headed up to Bunker Hill, just north of Kokomo, where he hopes to line up his second recruit for this month, meet his quota. And for all practical purposes, if he doesn't sign this guy up, he's going to have trouble making his Monday deadline.
Are you Matthew? Sergeant Arnold, you remember what I was talking about?
We arrived at the home of 17-year-old Matthew. Sergeant Arnold's here to tell Matt and his mother, Trudy, about the opportunities available to him in the Army.
So, what are your thoughts on being in the Army? Is it something that you already know you want to do, or you just...
Something that I want to do. I thought it'd be exciting because I saw some of my friends just left for basic training.
Which one of your friends left for basic?
Tyler Whitman. He left for the...
But there's a problem.
Did he? Yeah.
Even under the Army's looser medical standards, you can't enlist if you're being treated for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD.
I would like for him to join up.
Right.
And I hope to God they'll take him, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
He's ADHD.
Okay.
I don't know if it has to, if that got anything to do with it or not, you know?
Well, that's, you know, there's a lot of things being qualified to being in the Army. When he's going to finish school is really big.
Okay, yeah. You know, that does make makes a lot of difference.
He does not graduate with the rest of them. He'll be behind.
All right, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to have you take this practice test, because...
While Sergeant Arnold gives Matt a practice entrance exam in the other room, Trudy talks to me about her son.
He's ADHD, and he's...
And a doctor has diagnosed that. That's not your diagnosis.
No, he's... He takes Adderall XR, 25 milligram, and then he takes Prilosec.
In what way would the Army be a good place for him?
To teach him about life in general, to grow up, to be more a responsible person.
All right. Matthew did very well. He scored 42.
That's good.
Is that really good?
To qualify for the Army, you have to score at least 31. So you can see that you'd be well over 31. I'm going to talk to the school tomorrow to find out exactly where he's at as far as his education and where he's at as far as graduating. And once I find that out, I will give you guys a call tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Sound fair?
It would have made Sergeant Arnold's life easier to sign up Matt. And later I talked with the off-duty soldier about that temptation.
You're kind of hoping that the school records are going to disqualify him because he said something else today that caused a problem for you, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And, you know, something that would probably disqualify him medically. So, you know, I hate to tell young people that when it's not something that's really within their control. And so it's a lot easier to give them a different reason than that.
It was the ADHD, especially since he's taking medications, that would disqualify him right now from signing up, right?
Yes, it would.
He's not going to help you make your August quota.
No, probably not, which is okay. You know, I mean, always the applicant's interests are what I have, you know, at heart.
This is a tough question, Sergeant, but you were tempted, weren't you?
I was tempted. No doubt about it. You know, running out of time, you know, and I know when the deadline is, and we do what we have to do. We move on and find the next one.
Even though the Army has relaxed standards for health, the rules seem pretty clear. You can't get in if you're suffering from asthma or ADHD. Seems pretty black and white. But Sergeant Arnold says there's another shade some recruiters can deal with. Gray.
Well, in the recruiting world, what recruiters consider gray area is that if an applicant has an issue that they may tell us about or, you know, we may have found out about and it's possible for them to go down there and, you know, they forget about it and they do that on their own, then they might get in. They might make it past the medical, whatever. And there are recruiters that there do. You know, I don't know of any specific ones, but I just know what happens. And sometimes they get caught, but it goes back to the pressures of, is it worth the chance of getting caught or not getting caught? With the pressures, it's easy for a recruiter to go into the gray area because they're under that pressure. It's not always about a recruiter and his mission as much as it is about the applicant and them having the opportunity to better themselves.
I've driven from Kokomo up to South Bend, Indiana, up near Lake Michigan, and I'm about to go in what used to be the rectory for St. Vincent's Catholic Church. The parish is closed, and they turned the rectory over to Catholic Peace Fellowship, a group with a different view of recruiting than the one we've heard so far. I'm here to talk to Mike Schorsch. He helps run something called the GI Rights Hotline. What is the GI Rights Hotline, Mike?
The GI Rights Hotline is a national network who field calls from soldiers, veterans, and potential recruits about discharges, about their rights, about how to file grievances, things like that.
We're 4 years into the war. Has that had any impact on the nature of the phone calls you get here?
We get certain kinds of calls more. You know, the volume of people who just say, okay, I've realized I can't do this. I'm not going to go to Iraq. Certainly we wouldn't be getting calls like that if the war were not going on.
What about potential recruits?
What I see more is the recruiters encouraging, subtly hinting, cajoling, intimidating recruits to lie themselves when they're entering the military and have to fill out their forms and questionnaires to lie and say, oh no, I have no medical problems.
And
You've talked to potential recruits who relate those kinds of stories to you?
Most of the people who talk to me about this are actually 1 or 2 weeks into training, sometimes further along in training. And they'll call me and say, you know, I've always had these back problems. My recruiter told me just not to mention it when I showed up to be inducted into the military. So I didn't say anything and I thought I could make it, but here I am 4 weeks into basic training and I can barely walk. What can I do? And that is the kind of scenario that I hear a whole lot more when it comes to recruiters encouraging people to lie about their medical histories.
High schools are required to give up lists of their students to recruiters. You have a problem with that?
Yeah, I do. It should be the decision of the parents whether or not their kids' personal information is given to a military recruiter, not the federal government. Recruiters, you know, I've just seen them be really manipulative with people. Not to say that all recruiters do that, but I've just seen it so much that I'm really wary about, you know, recruiters getting these 16-year-olds' phone numbers and being able to call them without their parents maybe knowing.
After hearing what I had from recruiters and from Mike Schorsch, I drove the 300 miles south from South Bend to Fort Knox in the neighboring state of Kentucky. Yes, that's where the gold is. But it's also where the Army Recruiting Command is. I came to talk with Frank Shaffrey, an official in recruiting operations, who's been involved with Army recruiting one way or the other for more than 30 years. I asked him why he thought the Army had missed its 80,000 new recruit goal by 7,000 last year.
It comes down to resources, the number of recruiters that we had on the street. The war in Iraq, of course, had some impact, the improving economy. But we evaluated, you know, how we did in 05, and the Army was very generous and came in and gave us some new policies to where we could attract more people to come in. That's why I believe that in 06 we're going to overcome the shortfalls that we had in 05.
As well as better incentives such as bonuses, there's another way the Army can be seen to be overcoming its shortfall. The Army has always preferred if its recruits leave secondary education with the main high school degree. It would accept a limited number who had dropped out of high school and instead got the less well-regarded graduate equivalency degree, the GED. Now the Army's experimenting by taking larger numbers of recruits with only GED qualifications as long as they take a motivational exam. Frank Shaffrey defends the move.
There's some question about this motivational exam you're giving as a way to get around, to exceed the limits.
We were allowed to take an additional 10% to put in to this particular study program, but you need a sufficient population in order to do the study to get conclusive results. So it's not something to get around anything. It's to eventually redefine the policy where it makes sense in today's society.
The number of recruits brought in under that experimental program equals last year's shortfall. Or to put it another way, getting around things or not, the Army wouldn't be meeting its goal this year if it were not taking in more recruits with GED qualifications. What's more, the Army's been making increased use of waivers, special permission granted to allow people in who'd normally have been barred because of past criminal misdemeanors or health concerns. This has also raised concern about the quality of the soldiers being recruited. A misplaced worry, says Army Recruitment Command's Frank Shaffrey.
You got to remember that things have changed in American society over the years. I like to use the example of Columbine High School, the tragedy that occurred at Columbine. After Columbine, teachers and parents were more aware of things that their children were doing or other children were doing. Two kids are fighting out in the back of the high school. When I grew up and you grew up, you know, teacher would come out and maybe kick you in the butt, call your parents, and you'd go home and you'd be disciplined. Today, they dial 911, and when the police respond, they get you for aggravated assault or assault and battery, and you're arrested. Well, that becomes a criminal record. That's the type of things that we see and we have to waive. Yes, there has been an increase in the number of waivers, but we think that changes in society have caused that, and we're not approving more waivers in order to make the mission. We're reviewing these cases no differently than we did in 1999, 2004, 2005. The process is the same, and we think we have a pretty good process.
There are recruiters who will talk about the gray area. They tell us that the most successful recruiters know where that gray area is and know how to navigate in there without stepping over the line. But some of them do, and some of them get in trouble, and they get punished.
I don't believe there's the pressure, if that's the right word, is that great to where you have to go out and cheat. I mean, most recruiters realize it. I mean, a recruiter does this as putting this guy in harm's way. You know, it's like conceal your asthma. Well, you go in a gas chamber when you get here. You know, if you really had asthma, you conceal that no one knows about, and we stick you in a gas chamber, I mean, we're putting your life at risk.
That's tear gas.
Yes. It doesn't make any sense to cheat the system.
Are you completely personally convinced that there's been no diminishing in the quality of the U.S. soldier?
Absolutely. You talk to battalion commanders just coming back from the war, and they're talking about the soldiers and how great they were in combat. That testimony alone kind of validates that we're doing the right thing.
The Army has had to make changes in its recruiting process to fill its ranks. Bigger bonuses and looser rules about who's eligible to sign up. And there's always the constant pressure on the recruiters to produce. The worry about a lower quality of recruits is that America will see more Abu Ghraibs, more allegations of rape and murder. But despite those concerns, and despite collapsing public support for the war in Iraq, there remains in America a large reservoir of men and women like those in Kokomo who speak earnestly about patriotism in a way that might puzzle big city sophisticates. Take Private Dustin Mackinich, whom I met on the drill parade at Fort Knox. He's from Kokomo.
I went to college for a year, just wasn't my thing. I wanted to get more discipline, so I thought I'd join the Army, and I just knew I just wanted to do more of my life.
Four guys from Kokomo so far have died in the war. Did you know that?
Yes, sir.
But did that weigh in your decision at all, one way or the other?
No, sir. We knew that people were dying, but this is a war we have to win, so we have no problem going over there to do what we have to do.
What do your pals who didn't go into the service say to you?
They think I'm crazy. I don't know, but I need to do this, and I want to do this, and they just don't understand why.
You don't feel crazy?
No, I don't, sir.
Oh, and one final note. Sergeant Arnold did find a second recruit to meet his August quota, signing him up on deadline day. Now he has September's quota to fill.